Okay, members, whilst in committee, the following items were agreed. Item 6, proposed renewal of lease of land at Saul Downpatrick. On the proposal of Councillor Hanlon, seconded by Councillor McAteer, it was agreed to lease the lands outlined in red on the map attached to the officer's report, with the party noted in the report for a period of 10 years, subject to a peppercorn rent. Item 7, proposed renewal of lease of licence at Auchnagun Mail Bridge. On the proposal of Councillor McAteer, seconded by Councillor Mathers, it was agreed to enter into 3 1-year lease agreements in respect of lands as shown hatched red on the map attached to the officer's report, with the party noted in the report at no cost, subject to departmental consent. Item 8, proposed lease of lands under at Bessbrook. On the proposal of Councillor Mathers, seconded by Councillor Keane, it was agreed to enter into a lease with the group noted in the officer's report in respect of the lands as outlined in red on the map attached for a term of 25 years at a peppercorn rent, subject to departmental consent. Item 9, request for purchase of land. On the proposal of Councillor Hanlon, seconded by Councillor McAteer, it was agreed to the sale of lands outlined in red on the attached map to the party detailed within the officer's report for the value determined by Councillor's valuer. The sale will be subject to the inclusions of a buyback clause and the interested party paying Council's legal and valuation costs. Item 10, AHC capital projects. On the proposal of Councillor Charbon, seconded by Councillor Hanlon, it was agreed to progress to the procurement and appointment of an integrated consultancy team to progress the capital projects as outlined within the officer's report to RIBA Stage 3, develop design and submission of planning applications. Item 11, Public Realm Downpatrick update. On the proposal of Councillor Hanlon, seconded by Councillor Charbon, it was agreed to request budget from the capital plan for 2024-25 to support the completion of one business plan submission as outlined within the officer's report. Item 12, Castle Allen Forest Park. On the proposal of Councillor Hanlon, seconded by Councillor Charbon, the following was agreed: to proceed with the installation of gas infrastructure into Castle Allen Forest Park with the organisation detailed within the officer's report, to proceed with the installation of internet connectivity / fibre to the premises with the organisation detailed within the officer's report, to proceed with the NIE connection and increase the size of the cable, that officers investigate and liaise with NIE regarding the upgrade of the electricity supply infrastructure to ensure adequate loading to facilitate any future development, with a further report to be presented at committee for approval. Item 13, IT Strategy 2016 Progress Review. On the proposal of Councillor Charbon, seconded by Councillor McAteer, it was agreed to note the contents of the officer's report. And item 14, Strategic Finance Working Group Action Sheets of meetings held 3rd and 17th of December 2024. On the proposal of Councillor Charbon, seconded by Councillor McAteer, it was agreed to note the action sheets. Okay, so I will move on to item 15, which is the Planning Department update, and I will give that to Jonathan, who is online.
Yep, Chair, thank you. Chair, the paper obviously has been circulated this evening for information for councillors. It's the continuation of the planning paper updates that have been brought to committee each quarter. The paper details in terms of the NISRA statistics that are published that take us up to quarter ended the 30th of September 24. That's as far as the NISRA stats go at this point. That shows you where we are on major applications in terms of processing times, number of applications, etc. And similarly then over the page for local applications, Chair, over a similar period, then give a current analysis of where we are from our own statistics as of the 20th of January, Chair, as well. So in terms of, then we move on and look at the development plan update on the development plan enforcement, and then some of the actions that have been taken forward from previous meetings, where we are with those in terms of performance management, Chair. So it is a fairly detailed report. Happy to take any questions that members may have on it.
Great, thank you for that, Jonathan. Councillor Bowsey.
Thank you for the update. Firstly, I note that how hard the planners are working. That's also borne out by the statistics. So they're to be commended. Three main points would be in relation to the local development plan, enforcement and recruitment. In relation to the LDP, I would quite like to see at this stage a concrete timeline for conservation areas. It's taken years to not only do the review, but taken years to actually get a timetable for that. It would be acceptable in any other line of work for a manager to be continuously told, year after year, yeah, we'll give you a timely, we'll do it at some stage. Meanwhile, our built heritage is being destroyed. In terms of enforcement, progress there appears to be being made as well with some more staff. I would be quite keen to see the statistics in terms of reports of planning breaches and how many planning breaches are actually being pursued. Obviously, that's their discretion, and whether or not the workload is having an impact on how many planning breaches are being taken forward for pursual. And recruitment, could we get statistics on staffing levels for the next update and retention rates, etc., and compare that with the Northern Ireland average? Get some indication on some of the main reasons for staff leaving the department. Is it workload? Is it pay, etc.? And what the council is doing to ameliorate these concerns, these reasons. And basically, is there any light at the end of the tunnel when it comes to the Northern Ireland-wide staffing issue and planning? Or is this a new reality and we have to adapt to that? And just on a side note, some of the commentary around performance improvement actions, which can sound quite proactive action to us members, but I think if I was a planner, I would find it a little bit demoralising, all the performance improvement management or micromanagement, and just to be mindful of how that maybe makes you feel when you're working harder than ever and you have that sort of discourse going on. So just to be mindful of that and the impact that might have on staff satisfaction and retention rates. Thank you.
Thank you. Johnson, do you want to come back on some of those questions, given there was quite a few?
Sure, there's a fair bit in that, and I'm happy to bring back. I mean, this would have been an ongoing discussion with the committee, particularly around all of those areas. In terms of local development plan, there has been timetable brought forward. That is the issue. The draft development plan is due to be, the draft development strategy will be issued this year as per the timetable that has been agreed by the committee and by council and by the department chair. That will then go to independent examination. In terms of conservation areas, those are all still currently dealt with by the current plan that is currently live. This is the new plan, and those will be reviewed as part of the next stage of the plan, which is the local policies plan. In terms of enforcement there, Chair, there has been some statistics provided there that shows you the level of all of the enforcement cases are being pursued. Chair, given the challenges around resources and whatnot, that there are different timelines on those, given their complexity. But, you know, the key statistics there are in that report in terms of the number of cases that were closed. But, like, you see there, a period of 147 cases closed in the same period, 144 open. So those are some of the challenges that the department faces in terms of doing that. So enforcement is a key part of our plan moving forward. In terms of the recruitment, we have had discussions on that. That does remain a key part. We do have continued in the detail. There are some of the recruitments that have been ongoing and continue to ongo. We currently aren't fully staffed, and the reality is that at no point over the past period of time have we been fully staffed, and that has been an ongoing challenge. But we can bring back some more details around statistics. There isn't statistics published in terms of other councils and their staffing levels. However, we would be aware of those through informal discussions with other councils, so I can reflect that in future papers, Chair. I think, Chair, if you're happy enough, I can bring those back. I hope that maybe helps to answer some of the questions that have been raised.
Thank you for that. I'm going to bring Councillor Hanlon in.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I would have had a few similar questions to Councillor Poisey. I think one of the biggest bugbears for me when people approach me about planning is you know, that the case officer hasn't been allocated yet. So we know that applications have come in, they're validated, but they're sitting in nowhere land. I do welcome that there has been recruitment later on last year and then coming into the end of the month. But I would ask, Jonathan, like, how do we see that that is actually going to impact into how quickly case officers will be assigned to cases in order that we can see a really tangible outcome for applicants? On the flip side of that, I do recognise that there's poor applications come in to council and create a lot of issue around even just getting it validated. So do welcome that the validated checklist will be brought to committee. I think that's a really key piece of work because that will leave, like, black and white, this is what you need to get it validated, which means it's just going to free up a lot of admin and a lot of back and forward. I suppose similar to what Councillor Gwaizy had said, but I don't necessarily disagree with the performance management, but it would like accept that it can be done in a very positive way. And when we look on down the paper and we talk about mentoring and training, to me that's what needs to be done in order to retain good staff, because a lot of them will be maybe graduates or just coming into this type of role. We would recognise that you know, they're coming into a very you know, a kind of atmosphere that is going to be busy, it's going to be stressful, there's a lot of pressure on them. So it's how do we build that capacity going forward that we'd be able to retain people and, you know, get them into a place where they're looking to be promoted in future years. So I think that's important too. In regards to the LDP, I know it says 2025. Do we have an idea? Is it going to be quarter one, quarter two? You know, so because that's something that is just constantly under our, you know, we're being asked about as councillors, because it will affect everything in the district. So I know some of that's a wee bit rehearsed from what Councillor Boisey had said. And again, you know, I do recognise the team are doing as much as they can from, you know, planning assistance admin right up to senior management. But it does remain a frustration among applicants. And, you know, at the end of the day, when you're applying for planning, that's something that you've built into your life plan. You're building your house or you're extending your house or you're moving house. And then we have other ones where it's a disability or whatever it might be. You know, so to be held back by process is very, very frustrating for people. And we need to get on top of it and we need to be seen to be doing everything we can. So, maybe Jonathan can come back with a few things I've raised there.
Yeah, Jonathan, do you want to just give us a few questions there?
Okay, well, I suppose, Chair, in terms of where we are and is it improving, I suppose all I can do is draw your attention to page 2, where from the quarter end of June and quarter end of September of 2024, there's been a significant increase in the number of applications that have been processed. You will see on the left-hand column, however, processing times increase. So that's the sort of the headline figure. However, as you start to eat into your backlog, you are going to increase your processing time because applications have been longer in the system. So I suppose the green shoots is that at least there are more applications being processed. Sure. In terms of allocations, you know, we still have a significant number there to allocate. That has been decreased from the last time we reported by, so I think it was 529 this quarter, the last report, or this court last year, it was 618. So there are some progress being made, Chair. The issue of performance management is done in a positive manner. It is targeted to try to help staff manage their caseloads, because they are working with exceptionally high caseloads, which probably would be at the upper end of the well above the average for all councils. In terms, Chair, of how that happens and mentoring and training is done in a positive way, it's to try to assist officers, particularly new officers, deal with to manage their caseload, but also deal with consultations, because that's an ongoing issue. We are also working with consultees, so there is a pilot engaged with NI Water to try to reduce the number of consultations that need to go forward and try to manage those more effectively. We are part of that pilot with NI Water. I've also met with NIEA to try to look at how those can be prioritised, but how we can look at consultations through NIEA. One of the discussions we've had with them is we can prioritise three projects across the whole of Northern Ireland for, you know, for a speedy consultation. So some of the issues that we're dealing with don't, the controls don't all just rest with the council. We are trying to work with our partners in the planning process to try to speed things up, but there are challenges that they face as well that impact on the planning process. But all of the comments made by Councillor Hanlon in terms of the timing aren't lost on the staff. They are very mindful of that, and that does, you know, that does bear on them in terms of how they manage their caseloads.
Thank you for that, Councillor Sharman.
Yeah, Chair. I do first want to say any time that I've had to reach out to a planner at whatever level, they have been very responsive, and in some cases they have reacted extremely quickly. So I think we do need to make sure and echo that they acknowledge that they are under a lot of pressure, given the volume that they're facing. But even in face of that pressure, they are doing their work to a high level, and from my perspective, responding extremely well to my queries. I suppose there's been a couple of areas where Councillor Bowes and Councillor Hanlon have touched on that I want to dive in a wee bit deeper. So we've talked about vacancies and recruitment, but how many actually vacant roles do we have? And, you know, whenever we go out with a recruitment advertisement, you know, is there a significant level of applications that are coming in for the roles? And the reason why I ask that is I was speaking to a private planning practice who put out a role for one architect planning agent, and it was fully remote, and he got 52 responses. There's people out there that want to be in planning, but maybe the conditions that we're asking them to work in maybe not as flexible for people to apply anymore. You know, but that's just an example from a private sector perspective. Obviously, public sector can be different. So it'd be good to understand what is our expected capacity and what is the vacancy. The second thing, and Jonathan did dive into it, around NI Water and NIEA and the responses, are we seeing a positive response from those meetings and those strategic, because that is one of the massive blockers that from previous reports is consultees are not responding within the time frame that we need them to. Have we actually seen a positive come from that? And then you touched on poor quality in your report, Jonathan. And I am aware that there's been sessions with the agents and so forth to explain, you know, what is a good application and how things can be improved. But I suppose one of the other things that you see is whenever Sir or Fanil or anyone from Democratic Services sends an email out for the call-in panel and there's refusals on it, every refusal is called in, you know, and there is valid grounds probably for most cases, but it's also some agents may be saying as well, we'll throw an application in, we'll get a call in and sure we'll take a chance. So maybe there's a responsibility across the board of reviewing it, you know, is it a valid call in? Is it a good quality application? And making sure that, you know, we're not just calling something in for the sake of calling in. And that's just my personal opinion. You know, if someone comes to me with an application, I'll review it. And if I don't think it's a valid application, I tell them. So I won't call it in. And that's just professionalism from my perspective. So, yeah, have we seen any improvement in quality from those workshops that we've had with agents and architects to try and improve the quality that we're seeing? Because you've listed it as still an issue.
Austin, do you want to come back in? Yeah.
Sorry, Chair. In terms of vacancies, at the present moment in time, Chair, we have two planning officer vacancies to be filled. The appointments have been made. We're waiting for start dates with another two on reserve list that we're now approaching to fill, and that would leave then another there's, I think there's three planning assessment posts to be filled, which the recruitments are on next week. In terms of numbers, Chair, we do get good interest in our application. Staff all work flexibly, so they're not in the office full time. There's flexibility there between office work and remote work. In terms of consultations, it's a challenge across the board. Sure, we are working, as I said, there's pilots there with NI Water and NIA to try to improve. But the challenges that the consultees face as well is the volumes of applications that are coming and also the staffing resources that they have. So it's a challenge across the board. In terms of application quality, the validation checklist will hopefully be another tool to try to improve that, because it will be more upfront discussion with applicants around what's required. That is the big challenge when applications come in and what's needed, the back and forth to complete those applications, because if an application is validated with a fairly low bar across Northern Ireland, then you then start to ask the additional information, which is trying to get that serviced up front. Where we have engagement up front, it is proven that application quality does improve. And they are, the staff are using the, being more strict in terms of how long they give applicants to come back, Chair, in terms of providing additional information, and that is assisting, Chair. So all these things are heading in the right direction, Chair, but they do take time, and given the volume of applications we're dealing with, it still remains a challenge.
Councillor McAteer.
Yeah, and on the contrary, I suppose a lot of perception that members of the planning committee get a lot of opportunity to discuss the workings of the committee and workings of the whole planning service. We don't really were there just to make a call on the applications in front of us. So this is a good opportunity to get this out. I'm glad Jonathan has to give his report this evening verbally. One who's a member of the planning committee is certainly very aware of circumstances, what has happened over the past, what's the pipeline as well, in trying to rectify a very difficult situation. There's a lot, I suppose, could be said about it. And I do sympathise with Jonathan and the team trying to bring some more positivity around it. I do think we're getting there. I was speaking to one of the planners the other day, and they were saying that the new planning staff that will come in are really well experienced and can hit the ground running as such. So I've got a bit of hope and faith in that. But just wonder, is Jonathan, is there provision made, almost running a surplus amount of planners? Because given the reality is probably most of the planners are women, and there's a potential for the obvious maternity leaves that are coming in a young workforce. Is that built into that, and can we make sure that we always have almost a surplus on paper, that when we actually make progress that we won't lose it again because of people being off, for example, in that. So that's one thing that struck me as something that should be looked at to try and build a bit of leeway into that. The other thing as well, highlighted there about the applications, and many times the applicants are given opportunity to resubmit information. But quite recently, I know there was a hell of a lot of time given over by senior planners because of constant objectors, and they just have an absolute free for all right up on top and past the time of even a decision, where there's no bound, no limit to the number of times somebody could object to something on the most frivolous of matters. And everyone has to be considered. And you're taking senior staff away from that, part afraid of judicial reviews, etc. And somebody somewhere has to take a look at that, whether it's the planning department in Belfast, about this, because you can't have it everywhere on this one. That is having an effect as well, and has been over the past number of years. So the other one is NIEA. Again, probably need to do more work on them because of an insatiable appetite for more and more information all the time, and you know they should be given the one chance as well of commenting on an application. Like they don't have to go back and back and back and forward. So, but also it must be very frustrating for staff to work on. So welcome the engagement with NI Water to have to use the number of NI Water consultations. I think, Jonathan, I think the roads service are probably quite good generally. I'm sure she might be able to hear you comment on that, but just take maybe a couple of those things on board just for comment.
I think Connor is going to come in on some of these questions.
Yeah, Chair, just in respect of resources, we did bring a paper to a committee pre-Christmas where we sought approval and got approval to provide 3 additional planning officers to complement the existing staff and complement, which is an addition to the normal structure within the planning department. So that resource is in place. We never run a reserve list for very long. We normally exhaust all our reserve lists from our recruitments fairly quickly. So any time we get a reserve list, we tend to appoint everyone off it, and then it runs out, and then we have to go out again. So that's why with multiple recruitment exercises, and they're always ongoing. So that has been taken on board. We have added resource to try and deal with the sort of very scenario that you've spoken about, and hopefully we'll see the benefits coming you in the next few months. I think just to make the separation between poor application quality and objections, they're two totally different things. An objection is totally different from a poor application, and unfortunately the system is set up that objections can't be ignored and a decision cannot be made without fully considering objections on applications, and that's just a matter for all planning departments across all the councils, not and would be a matter for DFI as well. But again, it's something that DFI are aware of, and it's something that they'll be looking at. And again, with their statutory consultees, as Jonathan said, they have resource issues that they're reporting to us on a regular basis. And there is a report that's produced by, I think it's DFI, on an annual basis that provides statistics on our statutory consultee responses, so we can get access to that report and compare the performance of our statutory consultees year on year. And I think that's something that becomes available soon. So that could be a good tool for officers and members to consider whenever that's published, and we'll maybe table that at the next time we're presenting to the committee.
Councillor Hanlon, do you want to come back in?
Just 2 points. Just wanted to pick up on Councillor Sharvin's point around the call-in. My understanding was that we are just facilitating a call-in. It's not up to us to decide whether it would be, you know, adequate to go forward or not. So, you know, that is why if somebody approaches me for a call-in, I would always submit it, but I would always make them very aware that it has to be sound planning reasons, and that's why the call-in committee is there. And maybe I've picked it up wrong, but you said you would say no at that point, whereas I would let it just go through and let the call-in committee decide, because, you know, I don't feel equipped enough. I've never been on the planning committee. And so just so that I know I'm doing that right and I'm not making any mistakes with it. The second point, and I really hope they've picked up this one wrong, Councillor McAteer, that you're alluding to the fact that if you bring a woman in that she'll go off on maternity leave. Like, come on, really? Are you really saying this in public? So we have to just go with the men then? Wow.
Saying about the extra staff to get some of the
help.
Okay. I'm just going to draw that. Connor, did you want to come in on...
Yeah. In respect of the call-in panel, I would confirm that it's up to the call-in panel to consider the applications are called in against the tests that they're tasked with assessing them against, and make recommendations on whether they're either sent to committee or not.
Mr. Sharvin,
Sir
McAteer.
Sorry, just for clarification, I wasn't particularly selecting any particular women out in any way or form. I just said I really was referring to. I see you follow me. So if there's any offence women cause, they withdraw it. And,
thank you for that, Councillor McAteer. Okay. Okay, I need a proposer and seconder for paper, please. Councillor Boisey to propose, and Councillor Hanlon is happy second. I'll also take the following two papers. They're both for noting also together, which is item 16 and 17. So can I get a proposer and seconder for those two papers? Yes, Councillor King to propose. And I'm happy to second. But thank you, councillors, and please stay safe tomorrow. And make sure your trampolines are tied down tonight and all the rest. But yes, thanks. See you. Okay, hello everyone. I'd like to welcome everyone to the meeting tonight. Hopefully everyone can hear me clearly. Everyone should ensure their mobile telephones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. I remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interest which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the chamber for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. Members should remember that the microphones work in a queuing system. If your microphone is lit red, you have precedence. Flashing green is next in the queue and then solid green. Please do not press your microphone button again when it is lit up red, as you will lose your place in the queue. There may be some members in attendance virtually, and it has been agreed that all members in the chamber are brought to speak on an issue before any remote delegates. Therefore, if you are attending remotely, please use the chat facility to indicate your wish to speak, and I will bring members in once all those within the chamber have spoken. Instant messages should be kept to the following letters. Type Q if you wish to ask a question. Type C for a comment. Type P if you wish to propose. Type S if you wish to second. And please refrain from making any other comments using the instant messaging. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments that they make during tonight's meeting. Okay, item one, is there any apologies? Councillor Bozic.
Councillor Riley's apology.
And Councillor Rice as well.
And also Councillor Enright. And all the apologies.
And Sinead Murphy.
Item two then, any declarations of interest?
Yes Chair. Item four, my place of work is named, so I'll have to excuse myself. And item six, I am on the club's committee and was involved in the negotiations of the new lease, so I'll have to excuse myself.
Okay, thank you for that, Councillor Sharwin. Okay, then moving to item number three then, which is the action sheet arising from the SPNR committee held on the 12th December 2024. Is there anything anyone wants to raise? And a proposer and seconder, please.
Yeah, happy proposer.
Yeah, Councillor Sharwin. And Councillor. Okay, then we'll move on to item number four, which is the IT strategy 2030, and I'm going to hand over to Gavin for that. Oh, and sorry, we'll just wait for Councillor Sharwin to leave as he's declared an interest. Okay, Gavin, if you want to go on ahead. Just press the that's you now. Yep.
Thank you, Chair. The new IT strategy has been developed to provide a clear roadmap for how technology will support and drive the Council's IT investment, integrating technology into our day-to-day services and providing them in a way that customers expect, that our customers expect. IT security and service continuity are key to the strategy, along with ensuring the staff and members are equipped with the right technology and skills to work in new ways. This IT strategy also supports the Council's digital transformation ambition, The digital transformation strategy, also tabled at this meeting, seeks to drive continuous improvement and innovation in how we deliver our services. The implementation of the IT strategy will be managed via a robust governance framework that is aligned with audit recommendations from the previous IT strategy. This will become a public document available in the Council's website, and so I am seeking members' approval for the IT strategy 2030. The papers were provided in advance of the meeting for your consideration. However, I am here present also and happy to address any questions from members.
Thank you. Galvin, is there any questions? If I could also get a proposer and seconder for the paper as well, please. Yeah, Councillor Hanlon, you propose. And Councillor King, second. Okay, thank you. Move on to item five then, which is the... Yes, sorry, we'll wait for Councillor Sharvin to come back into the room. Okay, we're just going to move on then to item five. I think Councillor Sharvin's going to join us after item six because he declared interest for that one. So that's the Digital Transformation Strategy 2030, and I'm going to hand that over to Veronica.
Sorry. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Thank you. Members, you have in front of you tonight a new Digital Transformation Strategy. The purpose of this document is to set out a high-level approach to how the Council will use digital technologies and innovative practices to enhance our service delivery, create value and support our longer-term transformation agenda. Work to develop the strategy commenced last year and councillors were involved in shaping the way forward. More digital ambitions were established and their aim, high-level actions and measures feature within the publication, along with a robust governance framework designed to ensure effective oversight, decision-making and resource management of the implementation of the strategy. Again, this will become a public document available on the Council's website. I am also seeking members' approval of the Digital Transformation Strategy. Happy to take any questions.
Any questions? And a proposer and seconder as well, please. Councillor Keynes propose and Councillor Bosley the second. Okay, thank you. Okay, the following items are in committee items. Item 6.15 are deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act, Northern Ireland 2014. Information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including council holding that information and the public, may by resolution be excluded during these items of business. I please get a proposer and seconder to go into closed session.
Question.
Before we go into closed session, sorry.
I want to query why item 15, the planning update, needs to be in closed session.
Caller, do you want to come
in? Sure, that's probably an oversight on the part of the department. That should be an open session. Happy to discuss that in open session.
Yep.
But we'll come to that at the end of the agenda and in open session again. We'll discuss that item. So, no, that's no problem. So, can I get a proposer and seconder to go into closed session for now then, and we'll come back to that item at the end. So, I think Councillor Keane had proposed. And Councillor Keane second. Okay, thank you.